Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, January 20th, 2023. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the link that says Start Here in the upper left-hand corner of the page, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download from that page the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. You can click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often because it tends to make people's lives better the more they apply these tools in their lives. And also it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, we'd appreciate it if you'd give us a call at 563-999-3581. And when you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. If you are listening to this in the archives and you would like to reach out, ask a question or clarification, you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. Or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. So, if we get that from you, we will address the comment or question on the air, and then as time allows, send you a message, email or text, whatever is appropriate, to let you know the day and time that we address your comment or question. And then you can listen back to the archives and hear the comments, get the feedback. So, currently we have somebody with a hand up. Area code 610. Is this Tim Bingham?
It is. Can you hear me?
Welcome. I can hear you.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm okay, thank you. I have in front of me the Stress Reality Management Empowering True Forgiveness Worksheet, which I would like to go over with you for an issue that I have right now.
All right. Be glad to do that with you. This is a somewhat abbreviated version of the 7-step worksheet process. So I'm letting people know that if they want to follow along, they may hear us reading some things that aren't on their 7-step worksheet, or they may have things on their 7-step worksheet that are not in what we're reading today. So where would you like to start?
Right at the beginning.
Yes, I would hope so. But sometimes people don't have the beginning. All they have is, all I know is my emotion, or all I know is the recurring thought I have. So what would you like to say something about the issue, or would you just like to start reading the worksheet?
I'll describe the issue. The issue is whether or not I will turn on a generator if we have a power outage at our house in order to keep the sump pumps working in the basement. We have this huge, unwieldy generator, which we got somehow, which I'm not sure I know how to operate, and I really don't want to learn how to do it, but I'm feeling very ambivalent about this, because if we have a power outage and it's raining, I feel that I should turn on the generator and have power go to the basement where the sump pumps would work to clear out the water. The generator has 10 rather complex steps, some of which I've been able to do, some of which I've never done. And this morning I was sitting at the breakfast table worrying about having a power outage at any moment and really obsessing about the power outage occurring. We haven't had a power outage for 10 years, but I'm obsessing about it because of the damn generator. So I'm stuck, and last night we were going to sleep. I asked Sue to help me with this, and she suggested that I come on the show and that you were a master of helping people with a worksheet. So here I am.
All right. Well, you know, it's a pretty high standard to meet, pretty high bar to be a master of this. I do know how to question some things. And so I would ask you, in this work, we understand that I'm not upset because this, that. You're not worried because of the generator. You're not obsessing about the generator because of 10 steps to work it. So when you learn to catch that in your thought and speech, you'll go a long way towards dismantling this. Because when you say, I'm worried about this generator, or because of this generator, or because it has so many steps, you're telling your mind that your worry is being caused by something outside of you. And the more you tell your mind that falsehood, the more it believes it, and the harder it is for you to take a look inside yourself to see and dismantle the actual source of your obsessing or your worry or whatever the negative emotion is. So take a breath and let me know if that makes sense to you. I know you've heard this kind of thing before because we've talked before.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm afraid that I will be a bumbler like I was as a little kid, and my dad will throw me out of the house because I'll be a bumbler. That's what I think is the bottom line behind all this. And the generator is a perfect way of showing up my bumblerhood.
It's just the most recent external focus in a long line of external things to focus on.
Right.
Right? And to let your mind try to convince you that that's causing your upset.
Right.
Okay, so in this worksheet, the premise is that our essential nature as human beings is love. And the work of healing is to remove anything that's unlike our true nature so that we can come back to the experience of our true nature as love every minute of every day, all year long. So did you fill in the worksheet yet?
No, I haven't.
If you get to 1A, it asks for you to put your name in. I, Tim.
Who am love.
I have, through my denial, trained my brain. This is that carbon-based memory. That's that part of my physiology that just records things like a computer hard drive and then spits it back out. I've trained that part of my brain to show me the lie that my feelings and my giving up of the direct experience of my essence as love, that these are caused by, in this case, what are you going to name as the trigger?
The generator. Or I don't know how to say it exactly, but the trigger is whether or not I should learn how to use the generator and try to use it if there's a power outage.
Okay, so I would recommend that you make yourself the trigger here. And that what's happening is you're obsessing about the generator.
Right.
Because that's what you said in the beginning.
Yes.
Now, it could work if you would make the generator the trigger, and then the goal would be something like, I wish the generator was a simple one- or two-step process. And then when you canceled that goal, you'd get to a different part of your mind. Yet the real issue, as you described it, was you're sitting there at the breakfast table in the morning obsessing about the generator and whether or not there will be a power outage. So the trigger is you and your thoughts, right?
Yes.
And then in 1C, all you would need to put there is, I'm obsessing about the generator and my concerns that I don't know how to do it.
About the generator. Okay.
And then 1D on this one has your feeling.
My feelings are anxiety.
Okay.
Anxiety and obsession.
I would say here, I'd ask you to use the word fear.
Fear, okay.
Rather than anxiety. And the reason I say that is because some people like to make the distinction between fear and anxiety of fear is something, this uncomfortable, fearful energy that I have a focus for. And here you've got a focus that the power is going to go out and you're not going to know how to work the generator to supply power to the sump pumps. So there's a specific fear that you mentioned
right.
when you were talking about this. You're afraid that the power is going to go out and you're going to get stuck. Whereas anxiety can be this restless, uncomfortable energy with no specific focus. Make sense?
Yeah.
So we've already been talking about 1E. My thoughts that cause my feelings about this are I'm not going to know how to work the generator and the basement will flood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if there's another specific recurring thought that comes up, let us know about that. If there's another aspect of this that comes up, let us know about it. Otherwise, just write in there. My thought is the power is going to go out and I'm going to screw it up because I don't know how to use the generator and the basement's going to flood.
Yeah. One of the things that is coming up now is I've got to go get gas for the gas cans to fill the generator if I'm going to work it, and I have to figure out how to go to the gas station and fill the gas cans. I've never done that before, so that's part of the worry, the fear about it.
So in this, my thoughts that cause my feelings in 1E, if you have a recurring thought that says, I'm really stupid, I'm inept, I don't know what I'm doing, you might want to put that in there too. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if that's up for you, if it's generalizing from I don't know how to work the generator to I'm not smart,
I am inept,
I'm inept, whatever, then put that in there too.
Yeah, I wrote down I'm inept.
And then in 1F, it asks about your punishment thoughts. So what are you aware of as a punishment thought for yourself in this situation?
Well, the thought is that if I don't do the generator and the power goes out and it rains, I have water in the basement, I'll have to pay to have that fixed, and I'll feel like a stupid bum who didn't know how to use the generator, which could have solved it.
Okay, so when I have that kind of thing, I write on my worksheets, I punish myself by beating myself up emotionally. It's all those negative thoughts. It's you're an idiot, you're ruining things, you don't know enough, you screwed up, and I summarize all of those by just putting the phrase, beat myself up emotionally.
Okay.
All right, so the next step is step 2. And it says, I choose to honor truth. It says the word love, but we know that love is not a verb, so I choose to honor truth. Above, and capital T truth is what actually is, not what I hope it would be or what it looks like to me when I'm scared or angry. And I'm willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So symptoms of physical might be any aches or pains I've ever felt, any kind of illness, any kind of muscle tension or vomiting or headache or whatever. Mental is any kind of And with the physical, it's that and fatigue. And the mental is any kind of negative thought I've ever had and confusion. And the emotional is any kind of negative emotion I've had and depression. So I just make the statement, and I breathe into this, and I say, you know what? As I go through this healing process, I may stir up some unpleasant energies, and as they move out of me, it may feel uncomfortable. And I'm just going to stay with the positives, the breathing, doing more of the right things, and let this stuff flow through me. So that's step two. Are you willing to choose that?
Yes.
Okay. So step three, I, who am love, I want myself to, and here we need to come up with a goal that if it were true, it would completely wipe out all the negative thoughts, the negative emotion of fear, all of the worry about how to use the generator and the gas cans and everything else. So what's the positively stated goal that your mind is telling you when it's busy beating you up? What's it saying you should be doing instead?
I should be learning how to use the generator.
Okay, so the
but I'm very very reluctant because I don't know how to do half of it.
Okay, so the opposite, the goal here that would be the opposite of all your negative thoughts is the goal would be for you to be strong, confident, competent, and intelligent in solving your problems.
Yes.
So you can either use those exact words or you can make your own up, but I would encourage you to have the strength factor in there, the competence factor in there, and the intelligence factor in there, and the problem solving in there. Does that make sense?
So I'll be strong, competent, and intelligent to solve
in
my
solving
problem.
Your problems, right.
Okay.
Got that written?
Yeah.
Okay. So the fourth step is where we connect with loving energy. And I choose to reconnect my awareness to my true nature as love instead of all of this upset. So what we ask people to do is close their eyes if they need to, put their hand over their heart space if they need to, but think about the most safe, happy, loving, successful, joyful memories from recent or distant past. It doesn't matter if you have to go way back in your life or you just go to yesterday or 2 weeks ago, but think of a safe, happy, comfortable, joyful memory and breathe into it until you feel a shift in your heart space where you carry this emotion of love, gratitude, strength, confidence. And get it vibrating. Right? You've had times in your life where you've been quite successful. You've had times in your life where you've had great joy. Breathe into some of those memories and pour your mind energy into them until it strengthens that energy moving in your energy system, in your heart space. And let me know when you've had success at shifting your energy over to a loving, happy, safe, contented, strong place.
I've got two of them. I don't know.
Say again. You've got two of them what?
I lost my phone. I dropped everything. Oh, here it is. Are you still there?
Oh, we're here. Take your time.
Okay.
You said you have two of them. That's all I heard.
Yeah, I have two memories. One is as a little boy being with my maternal grandfather, who was very loving and supportive. And the second one is in high school when I was preparing for a math test and I knew the stuff well and I had it all organized and I felt competent and able to focus on the work and I was getting ready for the test and I felt very competent.
Okay, you can use both of those if you want. You can flip back and forth between the two of them until you feel the shift in the energy in your heart space. And whenever you're ready, we'll move on to step five. Okay, step five says, in order to collapse my false reality, and I know it's false because there's any kind of hostility or fear or negative thought active in my mind. So in order to collapse my false reality and be liberated from this hostility and fear and to bring my awareness back to the truth, the actual truth of myself and my object of attention, which in this case is the same, I cancel my goal for myself too. And then you just write what the goal was in step three. I cancel my goal for myself to be strong, competent, intelligent at solving my problems. Write that in there and keep your breath moving as you write that in the space. Just keep the breath moving and finish writing that. Let me know when you're done writing that.
Okay. I cancel my goal to be strong, competent, and intelligent
in solving my problems.
In solving my problems.
All right.
Yeah.
And then we need to invite a source outside of your conscious logical mind. You could invite Ruka Dakucha, you could invite Holy Spirit, you could invite God, Jesus, light, love, but invite some source outside your conscious logical mind. Who or what would you like to invite?
God.
I invite God to incline me toward healing, to restore my awareness to my true nature as love, to assist me in keeping love conscious, active, and present, and to help me come into direct conscious relationship and gently remove any denied, dissociated, and projected parts of my carbon-based memory of the brain in my head. So just breathe and soften. And we ask people again to close their eyes. If they feel better about it, they can put their hand over their heart space and just say inside your own mind silently what I'm going to say out loud. So make this a bit of a meditation for yourself. Gently, silently in your own mind, repeat, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet to be competent, intelligent, and strong in solving my problems. I put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for now. And I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this worry, this fear, this upset. Just breathe and soften and gently repeat in your own mind those words. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goals in this worksheet. I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this upset, and I put my conscious logical mind aside for now. And just stay as open as you can, and just notice body sensations, thoughts that come floating through, emotions, memories of the recent or distant past. Just trust that anything that comes into your mind, as you just gently cycle through the words, I cancel my need to be right, and I ask to be shown a different aspect of this issue. Trust that whatever comes into your awareness will be part of what you need to see to begin to heal here and move forward. Trust that it's all old stuff. It can't hurt you any more than it already has. You've already lived through it, and it's perfectly safe for you to see it and feel it fully as it washes over you and you study it for just the little differences that you might see, even if this is a memory that's come to you hundreds of times before. Breathe, soften, and gently repeat. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf for now, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this fear. And as you breathe and soften and stay with that, stay with it until one of three things happens. Either you flash on an event that seems emotionally loaded and powerful to you from the recent or distant past, or you get a deep insight, or you realize that your mind is just going to spin for now and go nowhere. And when one of those three things has happened, take a nice, deep, cleansing breath and exhale very slowly and scan your body and notice what's the strongest emotion and the strongest physical sensation you're aware of. Breathe, soften.
The strongest emotion is the well-being with my grandfather and in my high school memory of being grounded and well-being. And my strongest physical emotion is my whole back is tense and knotted up right now.
Okay. And did you have a thought about something other than the memory with your grandfather or the time in high school when you were well prepared for the math test?
No.
Okay. So you could write that, those two things in here, that what came back to you was those two times when you felt good and safe. And then in six, what would be called C, you can write a time when you violated seeing yourself as being courageous, strong, intelligent, competent. And then some of the earlier times that happened may come to mind. And if they do, just make a note, either in the margin or on the back of this worksheet.
Well, I remember a time when I was, I guess, about 12, and my father gave me an electric train set for Christmas, and I dropped the engine and broke the engine of the, and there was this terrible feeling of being a bumbler, incompetent, and my father was.
Okay, so that's a wonderful target for future worksheets. So just write that note in the margin, 12 years old, drop the engine, and you'll know what that's about, and you can go back and do additional worksheets on that.
Okay.
And take another calming breath and scan your body, and then we can move to number 7. Number 7 says, I acknowledge the trigger in this work, me. I acknowledge myself for creating truth, capital T, truth, and perfect love. And I'm going to structure a loving goal toward you. In this case, that loving goal could simply be that worksheet on being 12 and dropping the engine. Because that earlier time of seeing yourself as incompetent came up. And then you've got something that's time limited that you can do within the next waking period that will help you remove some of the negative energy and emotions and thoughts you have around seeing yourself as a bungler. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you write that in 7?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So now take a breath and scan your body with a nice, long, slow exhale and let us know what's your upset level now. When you think about the possibility of rain and power outage and the generator and the gas cans, what are you aware of feeling now?
About a 3.
And what emotion would be at a level 3? The fear?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would make that notation at the bottom of the page, and I would encourage you to be willing to do that worksheet relatively soon on the memory of being 12 years old and dropping the engine.
Okay.
So, comments, questions, answers?
So, as a result of this, do I go forward and try to force myself to learn how to do the generator, or do I not? That's the question in my mind.
Here's the way I do this in my life. I do enough work, whether it's EFT tapping rounds or breath session or worksheets, so that my upset level is down to a 1 or a 0 before I make that decision. Because if my upset level, whether it's anger, hostility, fear, guilt, shame, any of the negative emotions, if my upset level is more than a 1 or a 2, it's going to be distorting my perception. And when my perception is distorted, I'm going to make mistakes. So if it were me, if I still had my upset level was, 3, 4, or 5, in about fear about filling the gas cans or learning about the generator, I would do more EFT tapping, Michael Rice reality management worksheets, or breath session to get my upset level down to a 1 or a 0 and then make the decision about what to do with the generator.
Okay.
Does that help?
That helps, yeah. So I'll do the worksheet on dropping the engine.
Okay.
And try to get my upset level down to a 1.
Yeah, and you might want to, add the EFT tapping. You can go look up Brad Yates on YouTube and tap along with Brad about fear, feeling incompetent. He's got some wonderful videos there. And they're all free. Are you all set?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Greatly appreciate your willingness to call and work through the worksheet, and feel free to keep us posted on future work. All right. I will mute you so you can listen into the rest of the show or jump off and go do that other worksheet, whatever your preference. And we'll be happy to entertain comments or questions when you want to re-engage.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
all right.
you.
You're very welcome and deserving. Area code 208. Your hand is up. You're in the air. Who do we have?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. My name is Lisa, and first of all, I want to thank you. I haven't been here before or heard your show, and what you just did was really fantastic, and I'm grateful for being aware of you now and what you're doing. So thank you for that.
How did you find out about the show if you've never been here before?
Yes, I get randomly led, so I actually was calling to ask about the Avacyn, and I had seen a YouTube video of you talking about the Avacyn, and I've had some questions that I haven't found anyone to ask, and so I just kept poking around and then found your radio show and then found that I could call in and found that I could ask questions, and so here I am, and I'm going to definitely partake in other things you have going on, which I was not aware of. This is perfectly lined up for me. So,
I'm delighted to entertain the call. I hope you have more than 20 minutes to hang around, because for questions about the Avacyn, you'd be wanting to talk to Dr. Michael Rice. He would be the one that you would have seen on the video.
Yes.
And my name is Tim Hayes, and I do the first hour here. And the Avacyn is just a tiny little sidebar. The core of this work is the worksheet process that was just unfolding.
Yes,
but
which is beautiful.
Just the core. There's a whole series of tools that Dr. Michael Rice has developed over the years and that Dr. Rice and his wife Jeannie make available to people on the website at whyagain.org. So you can go there and be busy for years. You can also go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, and there's nowhere near as much there, but there's some audio files, highlights of shows where people have done worksheets like Tim B. just did. And and there's an abbreviated short version of that worksheet that we just did on the educational materials page on that website.
Okay.
So you're standing at the edge of the deep end of the pool. So be careful, because if you fall in, there's real depth, real breadth to this work that can... tools that you can use to change your life for the better. What I say in the intro to these shows is that I've been using these specific tools for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. So this reality management worksheet that was just done on the air is the core tool, and there are a whole slew of other tools that you can use to uncover what you might be hiding from yourself and then bring it back to this tool to dismantle it. There are tools that you can use to map out how your thoughts are creating your emotions. There are tools to help you map out how your early experiences of conflict or trauma are fueling your interactions with the world today as an adult, and the list goes on and on and on.
On and on, yes. Well, I will say that, again, it is absolutely perfect because I have been opening and wanting and needing to work on everything you just mentioned, and well, I'll tell you just a little bit. I am in a there is a 4-stage cancer situation going on, and I have done a lot of incredible physical work on holistic healing. The blind spot for me is the emotional work and how to get to that trauma. And I know I need to work on it. I want to work on it. And I've been looking at many different and exercising, starting to exercise different modalities, including tapping. EFT and some other things. And so, again, this is, I'm sure that, and I will stay, and I will try to talk to Michael Rice about the Avacyn, but this was is also perfectly posed, and I'm here for a reason. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome and deserving. I will let you know that we have free support groups that happen on Tuesday and Thursday nights. They're from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. They happen through Zoom, so wherever you are, if you have internet access, you're welcome to join us. And we
Excellent.
Use these tools and talk about how they work. We have sometimes people doing worksheets, sometimes people reviewing worksheets they've done. That's both Tuesday and Thursday night. And
okay.
and we've
and
been doing this internet.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we've been doing this internet
okay.
show for almost 12 years. At the end of this month, it'll be 12 years that we've finished doing the internet show 1 hour a day, 5 days a week for the first 8, and 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for the last 4.
Mm.
And to find out about the support group, you go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website.
Okay.
And there's a separate page there for the Tuesday group and a separate page for the info for the Thursday group.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Excellent.
And I think you mentioned EFT tapping.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach the EFT tapping a lot in my sessions. I still do that, but I also used to teach an all-day class 2 or 3 times a year. But things have shifted, so I don't do that much anymore, but I do refer people to Brad Yates on YouTube. Are you familiar with Brad Yates?
I am not, but I did hear you mention that, and I wrote it down. So,
And he has blessed me with being able to interview him twice in the past year. So you can go to his YouTube channel and just search for how to tap, and there's like a 5-7 minute video on that. And then you can search for any issue, you know, physical, mental, emotional issue you want. He's probably got a specific video, 7 to 10 minutes of him guiding people through tapping on these various issues. He's got over 1,000
Beautiful.
Videos.
Wow.
And if you want to tap okay. into the interviews that he was gracious enough to do with me, you can go to YouTube and search for the On Your Mind podcast.
Okay. Excellent.
And then Brad Yates, and they will come up.
Okay. Excellent. I'm very grateful. And do
well,
you spell Yates? How do you spell Yates? Just so I'm
Y-A-T-E-S.
Y-A-T-E-S. Got it.
And if you're willing, I will turn on the microphone for another of our regular listeners who put her hand up, and she might have a comment relevant to you. So is this Magda?
Yes, it is. And I am so, I'm feeling so much excitement and joy right now because of your, the caller you've just been speaking to. I'm so happy for you that you've discovered this work because plugging that into your emotional stuff around the cancer is just wonderful. It'll be so good for you. So you're on the verge of many beautiful experiences and learning a whole bunch of stuff. And I also want to mention what maybe Dr. Kim did, and I didn't hear it, that almost everything that Michael Rice and Dr. Tim make available is absolutely true. And
wow.
that is, yeah, I know. It's remarkable. Their dedication to doing this show every day, making this available as a help for people who are wanting to do the work, it's just great. So that was my message to you. And
thank you.
I hope you tune in a lot more often. and learn how to do the work and see if it fits you. So then I also wanted to say thank you to Tim for doing the worksheet today. That was so superb, Tim, and I very much appreciate it. I think doing these worksheets on air is just as helpful as anything could be. So it was a great idea, Dr. Tim, to start doing this. And I do have a question for you about one thing in the worksheet, and that is the goal. The goal that we have, I wanted to know, does it have to be a realistic goal? I'll give you an example. Many, many times over the years, this idea of needing to be perfect so I could qualify for love and all good stuff, that has come up. And so when that has come up, I've turned around and done a worksheet on that. and what I have sometimes put into the goal is that I want to be perfect, just plain and simple, because, you know, the goal is that which, if it was satisfied, would get rid of the upset. So is that okay if we have an unrealistic goal?
Yes. Yeah, the short answer is yes.
Cool. All right.
The longer answer is that whatever my mind is telling me, whether it's, you know, the perfect utopian solution or going into the past and changing the past or, you know, being godlike in my authority and power, whatever my mind is telling me I need to do or be in order for this problem to go away, that's what I want to put in that slot for the goal, as long as it's positively stated. So I wouldn't say in regard to this, if I had the thought I need to be perfect, I wouldn't say I want to be without mistakes.
Right.
Because now I'm talking about mistakes, and I'm saying the without part. And so we want to state it positively. I want to be perfect in all of my business dealings, or I want to be perfect in everything I say to my children or in my parenting. Mm-hmm. So when I pick those words, because that's what's resonating in my mind, they will resonate other parts of my mind that will come to the surface when I cancel that goal. So there's no right or wrong about the goal, except for the idea that if I keep putting goals on my worksheets that say, I want to stop hating, or I want someone to stop lying to me, if I put the don't and the not and the negative in there, it'll be a very, very limited usefulness in the worksheet. I'll get much more benefit if I keep the goals stated in the positive.
Got it. Okay, thank you. I'm so glad that that question came up when I was listening to you and Tim go through the worksheet. So once again, thank you, Tim. Both Tim, Dr. Tim and Tim, our caller today. And I'm sorry, the new
Lisa.
Lady who's called.
Lisa.
So glad. Blessings to everybody. Okay, I'll sign off.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Magda.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else we can help you with, Lisa?
No, I'm just feeling really excited, and thank you for everything that you are doing, and thank you for her mentioning that, you know, even that how much you guys do, and that it's fully accessible no matter where you are in your journey. It's perfect. So.
Yeah, it's one of the things I say in the intro. I say that this is the most effective, efficient, and accessible set of tools I've ever encountered in my 48 and a half years of doing therapy. I'm a clinical psychologist in Illinois. And I say accessible because it's on the internet for free.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
amazing.
You can actually go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, ARAMAIC, forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, that will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the reality management worksheet, very much like what we just did, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences.
Which is great. I have a 9-year-old son, so that's fantastic.
Well, the sooner we teach people about how their mind and body work together, how their thoughts create their emotions, and how they are literally creating their experience of life moment to moment, the better their lives get if they're willing to engage it. It's pretty much the opposite of what our culture teaches us, and yet it's observable. And there's no belief needed, and there's no money needed. There is an investment. It's your time. You have to actually use the process and be willing to question pretty much everything you've ever been taught in the system that says, you made me angry, you hurt my feelings, that's tragic, that's wonderful, that's catastrophic, et cetera, as though the outside event or the behaviors of other people create my internal response. But they don't, and it's observable that I'm the one that creates my emotions and my response, and literally my experience of everything that unfolds around me by how I choose to interpret and then respond to those events.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's beautiful. I intellectually am right there with you, but then what you're offering is then the practice of that to go into the places that I'm not realizing that have been programmed and changing them. So, again, I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. One last thing I'll mention in the little bit of time we have left is that on that mindshiftersacademy.org website, on the best of audio files page, there's a lineup of six shows. The top six files on that page are old shows that I reran from Christmas to New Year's last year, this 2022. And they're all shows in which I was presenting worksheets that I did when I got deeply triggered to emotional or physical upset. So it's like a concentrated tutorial about the application of these tools and the explanation of the dynamic.
Fantastic. Okay. Woohoo.
All right. Well, if you want to hold on, I'm certain that Michael would be happy to talk to you about the Avacyn. I will mute you so that you can listen in. And if you want to press 1 on your phone, it'll take your hand down. And if you want to talk to Michael again, press 1 again, it'll put the hand back up. And I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling, and blessings.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings.
I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice. I'm turning on your microphone. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome and deserving. Lisa, whose hand is up, found us because of watching a video of Michael talking about the Avacyn.
Oh, okay.
So she's been here through Tim Bingham doing a worksheet and was impressed with that, and I'll let you take it from there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. Appreciate you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio, and today's Friday. The week's already gone, January 20th, 2023. And their call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael a moment to get dialed in. I'll let him know that we already have a question. So before he gets started, we do have a couple of people who said they might call in today. Oh. He is dialing in at the moment. Excuse me for being out of breath. I just came up the steps. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm assuming it's Lisa that has a question, 208.
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Well, hi. Michael will be with us here in just 1 second. I just want to go ahead and turn your microphone on, make sure that we got you. And he's dialing in. Yeah, when we switch hosts, one has to hang up before the other one can dial in and get on the switchboard. So he will be right with us.
Okay.
So you watched a video of Michael talking about the parasympathetic and the machine?
Yes, with the Avison. Okay. Yes, and how. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
he is dialing in.
He'll be just 1 second. Okay. Yeah, it's an awesome machine. Michael and I use it every day. Several things. For me personally, you know, I sleep better. Usually I fall asleep while my hand's in it because what we do is while we're watching television at night or something, relaxing, getting ready to go to sleep, we have it between us in the bed. And so I'll do it for 30 minutes to an hour, and then Michael will put his hand in it. And so we just take turns while we're relaxing at night. And sometimes he has his hand in it while he's doing the radio show, and we'll do it first thing in the morning. But a couple of things besides sleeping better that this is just an awesome side effect, I guess you could call it, side impact, is when COVID hit, I quit going to the hair salon. And so I hadn't colored my hair since February 2020. So now it's like salt and pepper, except that it's turning back dark instead of gray.
Mm.
So it's really pretty cool. Yeah, so that's just a good side on that. And Michael has joined us now. Michael, we have Lisa with us, and she saw a video of you talking about the Avison, so she has some questions about it.
Cool. Sweet. Yeah, it's kind of cool to watch Jeannie, who has no gray roots anymore. We've had several people who've reported that as a side effect. Actually, it's interesting. The Avison is the only medical treatment that I've ever heard of that people say, I just love the side effects of this treatment.
Right.
And the only, you know, anything that's truly healing as opposed to treatment, which tends to be about hiding things and suppressing symptoms, anything that's truly healing is going to produce positive benefits in every direction, and that's exactly what the Avison does.
Yeah.
So what can I tell you about it? What is it you have in the way of questions? I don't know how much you know about it at this point, so start me off with a...
Okay.
An understanding of where you're at, and then I'll see if I can
where
pick
I'm at.
It up. And, yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Well, first of all, I just want to say that, you know, the universe perfectly works in all its fantastic, beautiful, mysterious ways, because I just also had a wonderful conversation with Tim, which originally I thought I was talking to you when I first started, because I got on right at 9 and I've never been here before. And all the things that
you're
offering.
Well, I'll consider that a compliment.
Yes. Well, all the things that you're offering, both, you know, all the way around that I've just heard more about is such a beautiful gift. And thank you for making such, you know, so much available. And I'm very excited now to dive into a lot of things that you have to offer that I was not aware of. So, and it was brought, you know, through the Avison, through a YouTube video and getting to you and then seeing that you had a show and I could ask questions. So here we are.
Awesome. Which video did you see on YouTube?
You were being interviewed. I don't remember the young gentleman's name.
Probably.
Yeah.
The most recent one I did was a medical facility. It's called Outside the Box. I just did one recently with him, a fellow named Ben, who's with a medical practice up in Kingsport, Tennessee. That sounds like it might be the one that you tapped into.
Yes, that possibly was it. So I will say that I was familiar with Avison already. I have used it, I think, just once or twice with a practitioner in a practitioner's office. I am aware of the benefits. I have seen some different applications that I'm interested in that I needed to talk to someone about and see if you had any kind of information on how it works, if there's a way to have it work effectively. And just know that I've already also, once I saw your video and you were explaining things so well, I've sent that to two people, and I'm hoping they'll come and order one from you. So, and it would help them tremendously with what they've got going on.
It
will
help us too.
Yes, yes. So goodness all the way around.
I don't know that you're aware of the fact that for the last, up until 4 years ago, we've been on the road pretty much full time for 40 years. That's how we put the work out around the globe. And, you know, we paid our own expenses. Our workshops were free, and donations from that is what has kept us, you know, developing and bringing this work forward on a global scale. And then 4 years ago, when Jeannie's dad became ill, we, instead of putting him in a nursing home as her brothers were wont to do, we decided to stop traveling and move in with him here. So it's severely, you know, restricted our cash flow, and the Avison has also, you know, we represent the machine, so we get a commission on it, and so it would benefit us as well with keeping this work afloat and keeping it moving around the globe.
Beautiful. Well, I'm it would help them, and it would help you, and that would be fantastic. So, and you're helping
Sweet.
Me, so it's a perfect universe, as we know. Okay, so I'm gonna just fill you in a little bit, and I know no medical claims. You know, I'm aware of all of that, but any information if you seeing this machine being used in this way would be helpful, because I do understand the regular applications and all the beautiful things it does for the body and the, you know, and it's getting into the micro, you know, all the things of
microcirculation.
Microcirculation through your body, and that actually is, I think, why this is being used in a couple of alternatives. Well, actually, just one I saw, an alternative clinic for a very particular application. So, with my body, there is a late stage cancer thing going on, which I have been treating holistically for quite some time now, and I'm just getting ready to go into one. It's an immunotherapy drug, which will be the first adventure into a Western medicine, just to give my body a boost. And so the idea, I'm not quite sure how to talk about this, but I'm just going to let it fly. So the idea is, okay, awesome. The idea is that, well, when I first started this journey, I was at a clinic in Irvine, California, and I was not doing low-dose chemo or anything like that. Again, everything I was doing was holistic towards the body, and I have continued to do that, and I will continue to do all that. That's what I love that universe. And now I'm going to incorporate, I've been trying to work on some of the emotional stuff. That's been more of a blind spot, but now I'm going to very much go dive deep in the deep end of your fantastic offering with all of that. So when I was at at this clinic, I would walk by this room, and it was where they were doing the low-dose chemo IVs. And at each table, they had an Avison. And I had used the Avison once before, and I just thought, wow, why are they in there? I want to use one, you know, just in general. And then that thought came back to me as I am now going into just this one area. And I started to think, well, I wonder if they were using it either with the IV or prior and after to get that that liquid that's in the blood system then through the IV into the micro circulation so it can get deeper into the parts to help the body rid itself of what's going on. And so
okay, let's
I
start
actually
there.
Have an Avison. Yeah, okay, great.
Yay.
So Jeannie actually just gave you the answer to your question. You know, the thesis, and I think it's fairly well proven beyond just a theory, is that the reason why hair turns gray is that there's a lack of minerals in the hair. When the body is not getting a circulation to the scalp, to the hair follicles, minerals aren't getting into it, and it's minerals that cause the coloring of our hair. So when those minerals are not being delivered and start to disappear, the hair loses its color. You know, it reverts to no color, or, you know, just that white gray type look. And so my take, and a tradition in naturopathic medicine, the system of medicine that I'm trained in, is that when you can deliver those minerals back into the hair follicle, the hair follicle will start to, the hair will start to turn color. And so my offering would be that what's happening is that the Avicen opening restricted circulation there. My take is there are very few diseases of any kind that aren't impacted by microcirculation. If you're not getting the nutrients, if you're not getting the oxygen, if you're not getting the removal of toxicity, the cell has a problem. So, you know, it's a kind of a nondescript problem that your hair is turning, one's hair is turning gray. But if you restore the flow of nutrients and minerals to that hair and it starts to come back to its normal color, then you've got proof that you're delivering nutrients on a deeper level. The Avicen was originally introduced to me by a fellow naturopath that I've worked with over the last 50 years, and he had diabetes at mid-70s, and in particular had diabetic neuropathy. He could not work more. You know, he would get up in the morning, and he'd be able to do 2 hours work, and he would have excruciating pain in his feet, and he'd have to get his feet up off the floor for the rest of the day. That was it. The thing that got my attention was when he shared with me, well, Michael, you know, I don't get more than 2 hours work a day without excruciating pain in my feet. Well, I've been using this thing for about 2 months now, and I can do 5 hours of work, and I have aching in my feet, but it's not excruciating pain anymore. That was 2.5 years ago. Patrick, who maybe you've heard on this show, or maybe at some point will, Dr. Patrick McGann, now works 10, 12, 14-hour days again. He's been using Avicen for more than 2 years. Neuropathy is virtually gone, and once again, what's happening? It's delivery of nutrients. You know, when blood sugar isn't metabolized properly, as with diabetes, periphery circulation is impacted, and the cells connected to periphery circulation are obviously impacted. When you restore the proper supply of nutrients and blood flow, oxygen, nutrition, and you remove the waste, you've got a cell that's got an environment in which it can heal. Patrick shared with me that when he started using the Avicen, his average monthly supplement costs, he was, you know, pretty connected to and committed to supplemental regimen in his own health. He dropped the cost of his supplements by $85 a month, basically paid for the Avicen by what he didn't need to take in nutritional supplements. And his take, and I tend to agree with him, is the reason why he didn't need the supplementation was because, or as much supplementation, is because what he was taking was being delivered into the tissue. And so that's the basic idea of the Avicen, is that it's a delivery system for what you're taking in. And so if you're doing especially some form of toxic therapy, now I assume from what you're saying of immune support, it's not a toxic therapy, but I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know.
This one is a, this one is a drug, and it is, this is the first one that it's called immunotherapy. It's not chemotherapy, but it is a drug, and it does have toxicity to the body.
So then I definitely, before I took a step in that direction, be talking with the person administering it, let them know about the Avicen, what it does, and have them very carefully monitor the dosage that you're giving you, because the average person, you know, once, I forget what the statistics are, but something like once the average person in America reaches 40 years of age, they've got compromised microcirculation. And so I would think the average physician who's administering a dose is used to administering to people with compromised microcirculation. If you let your practitioner know that, I'd say that would be a very severe, you know, warning to make sure he knows or she knows what it is that you're doing with microcirculation, so they know how to, one, determine your dosage, and two, monitor its impact on you. Because if they're used to, 50% of a drug being delivered on a cellular level and having an impact there, and all of a sudden you're delivering 80%, there can be trouble.
Right.
And
right.
There's the only contraindication for the Avacyn is if your doctor has said, well, you're so fragile that you can't exercise normally, then you need to make sure you check with your physician, the physician who told you that, before you start using it. Controlled research studies that they did was on diabetes. They did this at the University of California in Santa Monica. And what they found was that using the Avacyn for 30 minutes after a meal produced the equivalent of about a 1 hour in terms of its impact on the temperature of the blood, core temperature of the body,
right,
and on sugar metabolism. They saw that postprandial sugar metabolism or sugar went down 60 points from 30 minutes on the Avacyn, which is about the equivalent of what happens if you go do a 6-minute walk after you eat.
Right.
So it changes the way the body uses blood sugar. It changes the way it metabolizes everything. And so.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I have one question. So I understood everything that you said, and it's really, I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you today, because I was really on the fence on whether to start using my Avacyn now as I'm going into this treatment or to wait for a little while. The people that I will be doing the immunotherapy drug with are not alternative people. They won't understand. I mean, I can tell them that I have this, and I'm actually starting it today. So
okay.
If
you'd like, drop Jeannie an email with your email address and contact information, phone number. And if you'd like, I will contact the designer of the machine, ask the questions, and see if they're perhaps willing to work with your physician or at least communicate. I'll see if that's
amazing.
A possibility.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm on their board of advisors, so I have a fair bit of communication with them.
Okay. That would be so incredible. Okay. And with how do I find Jeannie's email?
Jeannie. Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Jeannie. Jeannie, like Jeannie in a bottle. jeannie@whyagain.org.
Okay. whyagain.org. Okay.
And as soon as she gets that, she'll send it to me, and I will get in touch with Tom Muehlbauer, who designed the machine and is the CEO of the company, and see what we can do to support you.
Oh, that would be incredible. Just incredible. Wow. Wow. Miracles.
Just doing our job. That's what we're here for. So that's awesome.
Well,
I'm glad we're talking right
now. Me too.
Delighted. And if you'd like, I'll send you, there's an article that I have on basically a healing course that includes all levels of healing. And if you'd like, in that email, I'll send you back a copy of that course, and you can just walk through the links one by one to be fully introduced to this work and fully supported in understanding the tools, how they work. And then if you have questions, of course, we're here 5 days a week, an hour a day to answer those questions. I'm delighted to.
Brilliant. That would be absolutely incredible. All of that. So thank you. I receive.
Awesome.
Okay.
Delighted.
It would be
very frustrating to be doing what we're doing if there was nobody who would receive. So we appreciate receivers.
Excellent. Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any other thoughts, refinements, questions? You're dealing with?
I mean, that was the big one because I'm getting ready to start it today, and I'm really focused on that. So now I'm going to hold off on utilizing my machine until I get some clear direction and make sure that it's, you know, that I'm utilizing it in a beneficial way with this particular thing. Yeah, so I can't thank you enough.
Awesome. Delighted.
Okay.
Delighted.
Honored. Thank you. Thank you. An honor. Likewise. Very much so. Do I press 1 again to mute myself, or do you guys automatically mute me?
No, Jeannie will take care of that. And then as soon as we get the email, we'll move from there.
Okay. Brilliant. I thank
you. Delight to connect.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Blessings.
All right.
Take care. Okay.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
You too.
And we have 3 more hands up.
Awesome. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Okay. The first one that came up right after Lisa was, I believe, 843. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hey,
Michael. 843. Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How are you doing?
I just did my Avacyn. I'm only doing 5 minutes a day to get started to try to prevent I just need to build up more slowly.
Okay. Well, listen to your intuition. That's really important. Definitely important. And then yesterday we talked and you had a whole range of questions, which I asked, you know, just so our audience knows what's happening here, I asked that we stop our conversation yesterday so that, you know, you're kind of being up against the wall as you are, challenged as you are in your life. Your questions are really poignant and right on target, and they're everybody's questions. So the reason why I asked if you call into the show and ask those questions so we can have that discussion live, one, you'll have a recording of it that you can access anytime to remind yourself of what took place. And two, everybody in the community gets to benefit from the conversation. And, you know, the fact is we're all in this together. So here we are.
I don't even remember what the questions were.
Right. Now that we put you on the spot, right?
I'm like, I don't even.
Well, the starting point, I'll just refresh.
Okay.
Let me refresh where we started our conversation when you had called me and I missed your call and I returned your call. And you had said that in the worksheet that I did with John, or the second half of it yesterday, that one of the most amazing, incredible, radical, you know, bizarre thoughts that you'd ever heard in your life was that somebody could actually live without rage in their bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was a challenging thought for you. So that was a starting point of our conversation.
Could live without rage and hate.
Yeah.
And fear.
Yeah.
That was a very radical thought. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting in the Aramaic language, in what people call the Lord's Prayer, which really isn't a prayer at all, but a set of instructions, there's a line in there that can be interpreted from the Aramaic as saying, get us out of our habit mind. And what happens is, you know, each of us, if you've ever held a newborn, if you go back and hold a newborn, everybody, virtually everybody that I ask that question of, except those who have a lot of trauma around their own birth, will tap into the essence of the newborn and recognize the newborn energy as pure, pure presence of love. And realizing that that's our nature, literally, if you look at, if we took every vile, vicious, murderous mind in history and were able to hold them as a newborn, we would find the pure presence of love, purity of human life. And our world has become so specialized in hate and fear and rage that for most people, because of the generational patterns of unresolved hatred and fear and rage, and with no malice whatsoever, load the child with that dynamic of hate, rage, and fear. We call it a power person dynamic, and just to briefly explain that so you kind of get a sense of where this all started, not just for you, but for me and everybody else. We all were steeped in it. But there's in our codependence workshop, we identify what we call a power person. And a power person is a person in your life who had more power over your life than you did, number one. Number two, they were not functioning out of love. Number three, you as the small person in that relationship perceived that this circumstance, this threat coming from this person who is supposed to be caretaking you, because the power person is usually, although not always, a parent, that the object, the child in that situation, experienced it as survival. So three things. Power person's got the power over the child. Power person is not functioning as love. And the child perceives it as survival. When that happens, our energy fields, when you think of us not as bodies, but as energy fields, open wide. And when they open up, they act like a sponge, literally, just sucking in everything that's in the environment. So one of the most common, and you know, considering that your focal point in our opening yesterday was about rage, one of the most common circumstances that installs a power person dynamic in a child's mind is a parent who is raging. Why are they raging? Well, the mind will give them all sorts of stories about why they're raging, but the bottom line is they're raging because they had a power person who raged, who had a power person who raged, who had a power person who raged. And this is an habitual activity that once instilled in a family system tends to run the family system until somebody wakes up and does the work of forgiveness. And, you know, as you heard in the two shows yesterday and the day before, pardon me, and I really admire John for his courage at bringing forward his vulnerability and what he was able to do and his willingness. And by the way, I don't know whether Jeannie started out and announced that, but Jeannie took and we did one of the most powerful worksheets I think we've ever done live on this show, and we've got probably about two dozen of them in the archives. But probably one of the most powerful that we've ever done was in the last 2 days with John, who was dealing with literally a life-threatening, debilitating physiological disease. The world would call a physical disease. And the bottom line, the thing that motivated John, I've known John for about 35 years, and we've talked about the forgiveness process on and off. He's a minister. I've spoken in his church, has done workshops. But what had John call me, and he shared it on the show, it's not that I'm telling tales out of school, that there was rage up for him around his perceived physical disability that, you know, as far as he could see, was permanent. And one of the things that he said to me, and I don't think this actually came out in either of the shows, but when we were talking privately, he acknowledged that his father was a rageaholic. And we take on the habits of our power persons. Once that power person dynamic is instilled, once the parent has the power, isn't functioning as love, and the child is just this open field, if what's going on from the power person is rage, then that child just is like a sponge that just sucks in all of that rage. For the rest of that individual's life, and now I'm talking about a child that maybe this happened in utero, you know, maybe this happened at 3 months of age. Maybe this happened at 2 years of age. But that power person dynamic was instilled, that rage was instilled in the child very early. for the rest of their life until they do the work, which John did so powerfully over the last 2 days. And Jeannie has converted it, so it's on YouTube now. It's on our YouTube channel. If you just put Michael Rice into YouTube, then you'll see those two shows that that Jeannie did, part one and part two of this worksheet. But part of the process of healing is the ability to reopen and look at what's been installed by the power person into our habits minds. Because for the rest of our lives, if something like that happened at 2 or 2 months or 10 years or even at 70 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily denote a child and a parent, but usually it is. That's one of the reasons we were told to honor our fathers and our mothers, because it's a key to healing ourselves. But once that's instilled in a mind, for the rest of that person's life, until they understand this power person dynamic and access and remove that energy that was absorbed from that early experience, when they are in that position, not understanding and not having reached in to remove those dynamics, there will only be three behaviors available to them for the rest of their lives. And I invite everybody who's got a power person in your life to just think about what their behaviors were. And then notice that here's what runs your life. If that power person dynamic has been installed in your mind, here's your habit. And I say this from experience because I'm a product of that. I was there. It was the need to heal myself. The day that I was being born, they called my father at work and said, if you want to see this kid alive, come to the hospital now because he's not going to live through the night. I was almost dead 3 or 4 times the first year of my life. As a kid, I lived in an oxygen tent the first 2 weeks of school every year. I was never in school. I was in an oxygen tent. And I lived on an inhalator and pills. Until finally one day I said, this is not healing me, it's keeping me alive, but it's killing me. And that's what sent me on the pursuit of healing. And in my awareness, in 50 years of developing this work, the highest form of healing on the planet came out of the mouth of one man. It came out of his mouth 2,000 years ago. He told people exactly how to do it. Those who heard him said, half of them at least, too hard a saying, turned and went the other way and left and never came back. They were his disciples at that point. Half of them left and their words were too hard a saying. I don't want to go in and face this. I don't want to go in and deal with this. This power person dynamic, this hate, this rage, this fear that I carry in me is too much for me to handle. And half of his disciples left. But he showed exactly how to do it, and John gave us a powerful demonstration over the last 2 days of how you can face, and John's in his early 70s, what looks like is going to be a debilitating disease that will ultimately kill him and that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. And one of his phrases in our conversation was, this isn't the way I had planned to live out the last years of my life. So what are the three behaviors? First of all, the thing that determines a behavior when there is a power person dynamic in one's mind is the level of stress that they're under. So I just invite everybody to notice, when there's no stress, notice that you do whatever you did to get along with your power person. Think about your power person, and when things were going as well as they could possibly go, what were your behaviors? That will be what you'll do when there's little or no stress going on in your mind. When stress starts to build, you will shift out of that dynamic of doing what you did to get along, and you'll move into doing what you did to resist and survive with your power person. These are the habits of the mind. When one becomes ultra-stressed, they will do what their power person did to them that they hated the most. And until they can own and admit and love the truth enough to look at that, stare it square in the face, and bring it forward in the presence of love, which John did so powerfully. I mean, as I say, that's one of the most powerful worksheets we've done in 12 years of doing this show. He faced it squarely. He went to his heart space. He went to the space of love. And if you remember, his last words when we completed the worksheet were, instead of the rage and the hopeless and helplessness that we started with, the words were, I feel empowered. So all you're going to have to do, Paula, in order for your mind and body and spirit to heal, is face the power person dynamics that you, like me and everybody else, has carried around all of our lives. Step into a new habit. Let go of the habit of, you know, one of the first things we're usually fed by our power person is we're broken. There's something wrong with us. So most people operate out of a deep belief, I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. And that's the biggest lie that's ever been told to you. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told about you. That's the biggest lie you've ever told yourself. The truth is, in your created essence, you are whole and perfect, and that essence still exists. The same as if today you were born and I happen to be there and hold you as a newborn and tap into the truth of who you are. That's what we know about you. That's what we know about every person that has ever existed. That's the truth. Now comes the lie we've been brainwashed with. I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. I deserve to be punished. I deserve to have this rage puked on me. I deserve to be beat up. I deserve to be abused. I deserve to be... And all of those things, Paula, are lies. But they're habitual lies that when we tell them to ourselves often enough and long enough, destroy our bodies. So all you're going to have to do is overcome your habit mind. Now, that's a mega, mega piece of work. In order for me to say what I've just shared with you now, it took me 10 years initially developing this work, and that's when I came in touch with the Aramaic, and another 35 years of working with the original Aramaic teachings of forgiveness from Yeshua out of the Aramaic. It took me that long to understand what I'm explaining to you now. Now, I've done the gut work, and when I say 45 years, I'm talking about full time. You know, that main workshop on forgiveness, why is this happening to me again? There are times when I've done that workshop three times in one day. That's the kind of full time that I'm talking about. And back then, when I did that, it was a four-hour workshop. I now get it in about 3 hours. So it took me that long to understand these dynamics. Paula, you don't have to take that long. Now, you could. You could go back and you could start to, you know, go to the Aramaic teachings and you could start to decode Yeshua. And you could do all that, and you don't have enough years left to do it. So I'm here to offer that. I'm here to provide it in the most refined, understandable form that I possibly can. And then I'm here to support you unfolding, as John did in the last two radio shows, the parts of him that hold this pain and this rage that's been passed on for more generations, Paula, than probably you and I can even count. You and I came by that honestly. And it's going to take work to undo it. Now, I've watched people who said, I'm going for it. And they do it, and they change. And I've watched people say, as half of the disciples did when Yeshua said, here's what you have to do. Half of the disciples in his audience turned away, walked away, never came back, and their expression was, too hard to say. So the choice I'd offer you need to make now, Paula, is which camp you're going to be in. Are you going to be in the camp that says, I'm ready to go for it. I'm going to do this. I'm ready to heal mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Or are you going to be in the camp that says, it's just too hard and I give up? And I know that from our conversations you've shared that you've pretty much given up already. So now are you ready to reclaim your power and walk through the process and heal yourself? That's the question for all of us. That question is not just for you, Paula, but that's for everybody listening. That's for me as well. Am I ready to take the reins of the next level of work that I need to do to heal the habits in my mind that don't support me living as the presence of love in my world? So that question isn't just for you. It's for all of us. Am I ready to do that work? Am I ready to face myself on that level? I'm offering that I've watched hundreds of people. I've worked with tens of thousands. I've watched hundreds who really took, you know, the lead on their own healing process and stepped in and went for it. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a challenge. But we're here with the practice. We're here with the tools. We're here with the support and available an hour a day, 5 days a week. And, you know, this conversation about forgiveness has been going on this radio show for, actually, we're just getting ready to go into our 12th year. So we're just completing 11 years at the end of this month. And the first, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, it was a one-hour conversation each day. And then Dr. Tim decided he was ready to take on an hour show of his own. So for the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a two-hour conversation. So there are over 3,000 hours to listen to on how, on a practical level, you can do this. You know, one of the things Dr. Tim has shared is that as a clinical psychologist, he's gone to all kinds of workshops from all kinds of psychologists and psychiatrists to learn the magical way that they brought healing to people, the results they were able to produce. And he shared that all of those things that he did, that he experienced that himself and other psychologists couldn't produce the results that that famous person did. But what he found was when he started to hand this worksheet to people, that he could hand it to anybody who was willing to use it, and they could produce the same result as he could or I could or anybody else. You don't have to believe it. All you have to do is put the pen to the paper and do it. And knowing that you didn't have a printer, you know, we printed off 20 double-sided sheets, so you had a worksheet to go with, put them in a package and sent them to you. So now you can put the pen to the paper. And what I'd suggest is that, you know, you get yourself a nice notebook that you're really comfortable writing in, one that sits nicely on the desk and you can work well with, and begin to, you know, once you start running through those copies that we sent you, we're not in a position to keep you in worksheets forever, but that you take that as a model and you write the whole process out. Once you get used to it, you write the whole process out. And what you'll be doing is you'll move yourself through generations and generations and generations of energetic patterns that have broken the people in your bloodline and are contributing to the brokenness that you're feeling right now. And as you put it to work, peace by piece by piece. And I'm not saying it's going to be fun, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but piece by piece by piece, every rage, every fear, every power person dynamic of your life, every message that was given, you'll face, you'll move it out of your tissue. And the tissue that is distorted, we call it diseased, as a result of that toxic energy being there, will heal. And so I breathe with you. That's an important component in it. You know, without the breath, the oxygen, the energy doesn't move. And beyond that, you know, in the first century Aramaic language, if you listen to the creation story where they tell us that God sent out his spirit, it doesn't say that in Aramaic. It says the creator sent out its breath. It's literally the lifeline. And if you just look at your life with the kind of pain that you've got, how often are you holding your breath? You're going to have to start a new habit of breathing into those places. And you'll say, oh, but Michael, that hurts. That's right. You're going to breathe into it. You're going to access that hurt. But you're going to do what John talked about yesterday and expressed so beautifully at the end of his worksheet. His objective, you know, if you remember the worksheet we started out, I know you haven't listened to the first day of it, so just briefly, the first part of the worksheet for him the day before yesterday was the object of attention was life and his rage at life and his pain at what was going on with this diagnosis that he had. When he finished the worksheet, the last step in the worksheet is you set a goal for a behavior that you're willing to do toward whoever or whatever you're doing the worksheet on. his worksheet was on life. And I just, for me, it touched my heart deeply to just listen to the willingness that John had to go in there. And the connectedness with which he spoke his new goal, which was, every time I think about life and my disease process, I'm going to go into and open the heart space and be the presence of love. That's what will heal you. When you can say that with him, that's what will heal you. And it's not a magical, mysterious, oh, God's going to heal me, love's going to heal me. No, it's when you enter into the practice of literally bringing back your human life into your human form, bringing forward the active presence of love into your tissue structure. And we're here to join you in doing that every step of the way. And as you do, the cells that are restored to love, the cells that hate and fear and rage are forgiven from, will change their chemistry that fast and heal. So that's my best explanation of the healing process. And I did send you this morning the links to those two radio shows, so you don't have to, fast forward through the first hour. You can just hit those. They're on YouTube. Anybody who wants to,
I saw them. I just haven't had a chance to listen to them yet.
Yeah, good. Okay.
But I got them.
Awesome. And I'm sure Jeannie has them in notes. So anybody who wasn't available or wasn't part of the show yesterday or the day before, and that would have been, let's see, what's today? Today is January the... I'm just thinking, so we've got this audio recorded here. What's today's date? January
the... Today's the 20th, so that was for the 18th and 19th.
So the 18th and the 19th of January of 2023, the two radio shows are on the our YouTube channel as worksheet examples. And how is it titled, Jeannie?
On YouTube, let me look. Yeah. it's on the page of the special MP3 radio shows. I've got them titled with the date. Let me look real quick. They are John C., Part 1, Part 2. And it has the date underneath it. So John C., Part 1, Worksheet, January 18th, 2023. John C., Part 2, Worksheet, January 19th, 2023.
So, what do you think? Any thoughts for you? So there's a basis for where we can carry on our questioning conversation, and we've still got about 14 minutes left. So let's go for the conversation.
Well,
I'm really realizing.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. We got you.
Okay.
Yes, dear heart, we do.
I don't. It's just hard to know where to begin, and
it's overwhelming. Jeannie, your microphone.
It really is. And I, there's just two things. I just feel like my own body is my enemy because
right.
of all the pain. And that if I wasn't in a body, I could be free and at peace. So I have a lot of hatred towards my own body and all the physical pain, and it's kept me from being in a body has destroyed my life as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've had nothing but pain and my experience, my perceptions are that being in a body means suffering and abuse.
Right. Got it. So,
So
now I've got the lie that your family system tells its children, the lie that you were told. And that's the habit that you've lived out of all your life because you didn't know any better. For many years, it took a lot of deep searching. I didn't know any better. You know, when I was born, my lungs did not function, and they said I was going to die. I lived on inhaler and pills for 25 years. And I'll just offer that. It was about, let's see, I've been doing the Avicen for about 2.5 years. It was about maybe 8 months into using the Avicen, and I had my hand in it. I was actually doing the radio show. You know, my hand is always in the Avicen when I do the show. The Avicen's right here beside me. And I took a breath. I've been circling the earth for a few decades. I took a breath, and it was like, oh, my God, that's the first breath I have ever had in my life. That was about a year and a half or so ago. Now, I was actually blessed a year ago, December, to have COVID. And the third or fourth day of having COVID, the wheeze that had been in my lungs since I was a child and was there every minute of my life for the last several decades of revolving around the sun, I think it was the fourth day of COVID, that wheeze for the first time in my life cleared out of my lungs and hasn't come back since. So a combination of doing my work, having my hand in the Avicen, and then getting the gift of COVID and continuing to do my work through COVID cleared my lungs in a way that they have not been cleared in many decades. So here's my offering. You've got a habit. It's well entrenched in you and your family system. It was reinforced probably by every brother, sister, aunt, uncle, parent, everybody that you knew. And the community you were raised in, it's a community consciousness. So now, the way you get out of that, because it is such a deeply ingrained habit, and you are in a severe physiological crisis, I hear that, I acknowledge that. So here's what you do. You start, you don't say, oh, I'm going to take on all the hate I have for my body and heal it right now. You don't do that. You start with just a small thing in your world that brings up even minimal amounts of frustration. You know, if I had Tiger Woods, you know who Tiger Woods is?
Oh, yeah.
If I had Tiger Woods' phone number and I were to put us on conference call and call him right now and he answered, you know where I bet he is right now? I bet if we could call Tiger Woods right this minute, he's on the golf course hitting golf balls. Do you know why he's a master at golf? Because he's on the golf course every day. And he engages in the practice. Now, he didn't say, you know, when he was 10, oh, friend next door, I want to become an expert golfer. Would you please go and golf for me so I become an expert? You know what? When he was a little kid, his dad put a golf club in his hand and started to show him how to swing it. And he'd been swinging that golf club every day for decades, and he's a master at it. Now, you're not going to lay back and go, oh, I'm so sad, and I'm so hurt, and I'm in so much pain, and never heal yourself. I hear the pain that you're experiencing. I got it loud and clear. And start with just something small around you that you say, that frustrates me or that upsets me or that anger, just the smallest things. Start with those simple worksheets until you start to develop a new habit in your mind. And the habit will be of acknowledging and owning the negative energy moving in you and learning to bring love present to your mind in your and your body as that is moving in you. Learn a new habit. When you learn the new habit of bringing love present to you, you don't have to resolve everything in your life today. your heart. What you need to do is just start a new habit. And that is, I'm going to just be still for a minute and bring love. I'm going to start to cultivate my relationship with myself as love. And then as I do these worksheets, I'm going to strengthen my ability to do exactly what John said at the end of his worksheet yesterday. Oh, every time I think of this object of attention, I'm going to open my heart and move into the presence of love. You can do that no matter what's going on in your body or your environment. But it's not a habit yet. Now, what psychologists are telling us, you know, some people talk about 21 days. No, actually, the number is somewhere up around, I forget exactly what it is now, but they've done a lot of research on it. You're going to have to engage in this new behavior. I think it's something in around 80 days. If you'll do that, every time you're in pain, stop and just tap into and connect with love. Cancel the goal that's driving your pain at the moment, the situation that your mind says, this is the problem, and start to engage in that habit of forgiveness and bringing love present. And 3 months from now, you and I'll be talking on this show, and you'll be saying, Michael, you know, I still got a lot of pain. I got a long way to go, but I got it. And I'm connecting to love, and I'm starting to realize who I am. And I'm introducing my body and my cellular structure to me as the presence of love, something I've never seen anybody in the world ever do before. And that conversation will strengthen you and move you forward into a healed state. And a state where you can say, well, even with my physiological diseases and pain, I'm now moving into the arena of sacrifice. And sacrifice doesn't mean, you know, put your head on a chopping block so somebody can cut it off and call it a sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't mean killing something, as the world would tell us, or especially as Churchianity would tell us. Sacrifice means to make sacred. Are you willing to make sacred your pain? Are you willing to bring love present to your pain? And when you do, you'll start to change the chemistry in your body. There's actually a man named Norman Cousins who was given, I forget what his diagnosis was, but he was given a short term, you're going to be dead within weeks type of thing. Here's the treatment we prescribe and maybe we can prolong your life a little bit. And what he did was he went out and rented himself a hotel room with a big screen TV. And he rented a bunch of Charlie Chaplin movies. And he laid in bed and he watched Charlie Chaplin movies. And he laughed. And he laughed. And he laughed. And he laughed. And he overcame his diagnosis. He was actually given an honorary MD's degree for healing himself. And he said, if I were going to give somebody a gift, it would be the gift of a life-threatening disease so that they would have to start to take care of themselves. So I'm inviting you into a new habit, dear heart, of taking care of yourself, of recognizing yourself as love, and just cultivate the practice of bringing love present to your pain, to your body. Allow that hate to start to surface and melt away. And as it does, watch your pain lessen. Watch the game change, because it will. So that's my offering. Keep putting your hand in that machine. I would up it to 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes twice a day. And keep breathing and keep moving through this habit instilled in you by your power person. And, you know, because you, like me, didn't know any better. I didn't know any better than to just suck up what I was fed. And we have to change those habits. So I'm here to breathe with you and hold the space and support you and answer every question that you've got along the way as you start to unfold this. But just start out slow and simple. We're almost the end of the show. The show's going to cut us off. But just start out slow and simple, tapping into love, looking at the goal that you hold at the moment, and just canceling it. Just kind of start into that practice. And we'll be having a conversation about 3 months from now where you're going to go, wow, I didn't know this was possible. I didn't even know this world existed. So breathing with you. Deep, full breaths. And whenever you notice yourself holding your breath, that's the time to take a breath and tap into the presence of love again, again, and again until it becomes your new habit. Are you ready to go? For-